All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. I'd like to just take up where we left off. Last time we considered Paul dealing with the collection and the distribution of the gifts to be given to the saints, expressing that we come together on the first day of the week, take the money that has been laid in store, set aside particularly to be given, consistently given, and he dealt with who should give, and he said verse 2, on the first day of the week, let every one of you, every one of God's people are exhorted by the Lord to give, and how our gifts, how it should be determined. How do we give? How? As the Lord has prospered him. How is it determined? How, as the Lord prospers. And so now, the Apostle Paul is going to deal with a subject, and I'm going to tell you this. When I first read this, verses 5 to 9, 1 Corinthians, verse 16, chapter 16, verse 5 to 9. And when I first read this passage of Scripture, my first inclination was, I know that the gospel is here. I know that. Now, that I don't immediately see it doesn't change anything. That just means I just haven't seen it yet. And if the Lord's pleased to reveal the gospel in that passage of Scripture, then I will then behold the true message of that passage of Scripture. So I wondered about seeing the gospel in that passage, praying that the Lord would give me some understanding on this passage of Scripture. And I think that the Lord has given me some light on this, and I'd like for us to look at it. Now, from the language, and we'll see this as we go through these verses for a few minutes, from the language of the Apostle Paul, it appears that because of former opposition that Paul has encountered in dealing with the church, or the churches of Corinth, I think one in particular, but that there were some, there's always some in the midst, there's always tares among the wheat, always. They're always there. The Scripture says that those which are approved may be made manifest. So the Lord always allows the tares to be among the wheat. When, remember the parable when the workers of the field said, you want us to go in there and tear the tares out? And he said, no. You just let them grow. Let them grow. And in the harvest, the Lord said, I'll separate them. I'll separate them. Don't worry. The wheat will be gathered out. I'll gather the tares. I'll bundle them up and burn them. But you leave them alone. You leave them alone. I'll take care of them. And that's what we do. You you pray for them and pray that God give light. And so from former language, it appears as though that there were some among the church at Corinth that were trying to tarnish not only the reputation of the Apostle Paul, but also cast a dispersion on the gospel that he was preaching. And so he's defending something that he had to do when he was going to come to the church at Corinth. And as we look at these, you're going to find out what Paul, he was defending a change of plans. That's what he was doing. He had planned to come at a certain time, and he couldn't come. And so he just told them, he said, look, you'll see how it falls out. But that the thing is that the Apostle Paul is going to set forth the truth of the gospel in his defense of explaining to these people why he had to make a change. So Paul's original plan was to go through, and I'm going to show you this. We're going to go back and forth from right here into the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, because he continues telling the story, and I'll just jump ahead, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. His original plan was to go come to Corinth first, and then from Corinth, he was going to go up to Macedonia and spend a little time in Macedonia, and then he was going to come back to Corinth after leaving Macedonia, but there had to be a change. Now, that being his plan, I want to read verses 5 and 6 after I read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. He's explaining to them now, this is the explanation for what I'm getting ready to read in our passage tonight. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15, 16, he said, And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit. He said, I was minded to come to you before I went to Macedonia, and then come back to you and spend some time with you in Corinth, so that you might have a second benefit, that we might be able to meet together in the grace of God, in fellowship together, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. Paul said, that was my plan. There had been some, obviously, that had said, you can't put any confidence in him. He'll tell you anything. And not only can you put no confidence in him, you can't put no confidence in his gospel either. If they could discredit Paul, then they'll try to discredit the gospel. That's what they were trying to do. So this is the foundation of what's going on. So all right, let's look at verses 5 and 6 first. All right, Paul says, now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. Now from that declaration concerning having to change his plans, he said, I'm coming. I am going to come. I know I said that. Next chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, I do know that originally I told you I'd come to Corinth, I'll go to Macedonia, I'll come back, and obviously he had to change his plans. So he's telling them right here in our passage, he said, listen, I will come to you. I am going to come after I go to Macedonia. He says, because I'm going to go. Now, I've got 3 points tonight. Here's my first point. God's people are faithful, but they are fallible. Here's my second point. The Lord directs the paths, the steps of his people. And thirdly, God Almighty orders all things for his glory and for the eternal salvation and security of his people. Now let's just look at these 3 points in this and see the gospel here. Now, here's my first point. God's people are faithful, but they are men and women, and they are fallible. You know, faithful people, but fallible people. Paul purposed to come. We just read that. In 2 Corinthians 1, but Paul ended up having to go and preach in Macedonia. Paul was called to be a preacher. That's what he was called to do. When Paul was stopped on the road to Damascus, the Lord stopped him, knocked him off his high horse, sent him into Damascus, and told him where to go, and told a preacher there, Ananias. He said, you go over there and you talk to one Saul. And, he said, well, we've heard about him. And the Lord told him in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, he said, you go thy way, for he, that is Saul of Tarsus, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You go, he's my vessel. I've called him. I'm going to send him where I want him to go. So Paul was doing what the Lord had called him to do. Paul was called to be a preacher. That's what he's called to do. I'm a preacher of the gospel. Not a moderator, not anything. God has called me to be a preacher. That's what I've been called to do. And so Paul was being faithful to what the Lord had called him to do. The Lord said concerning his people, "My sheep," John 10:27, "hear my voice, I know them, they follow me." The sheep hear the voice of the Lord. They hear it as we assemble ourselves together and the gospel is preached, and you're listening to every word that I'm saying, and every word that I'm saying, what you want to hear is, I want to hear the glory. Tell me the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as Christ is being glorified, you're fine. You'll settle down. You're okay. You're okay. The moment something would be said that you knew in your heart was contrary to these scriptures, and the Lord was not exalted, man was exalted, and all of a sudden, you'll sit there for just half a second in unbelief trying to figure out, now, am I hearing this right? But I'm telling you, when you hear the voice of the Master, he is always exalted, high and lifted up. He is the Lord. The Lord said, "My sheep." Well, you know he's got a sheep. "Hear my voice." That's the only voice they're going to hear. "And I know them." You know that. You know that. "And they follow me." You know that. That's consistent. You'll settle down. "They hear that which the world can't hear. That the Lord has given them spiritual ears. And they perceive." They perceive the voice of the shepherd. And they understand his language. They understand his speech. He speaks through his word to their heart. He knows who they are. The Father has given them to him in electing grace. He bought them. He redeemed them with his shed blood. The Spirit of God called them out, gave them a willing heart, and they came to him, cast themselves upon him. They follow him. That is, they believe him. They believe him. And they love him. And when the Lord arrested Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, turn to Acts. Hold your finger there. Turn to Acts 22. Acts 22. Now listen to Paul relate this. Now remember what I just read. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me." Now remember, there's 3 points. That's a 3-point message. My sheep, they hear my voice. I know them. They follow. All right, now knowing those 3 points, listen to Acts 22, verses 6 to 11, and tell me when you can, in your mind, you can pick out these points. Acts 22, 6. "It came to pass that as I made my journey, I was come nigh to Damascus about noon. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. I fell unto the ground. I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? He said unto me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go unto Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand that were with me, I came to Damascus. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." So Saul was known of the Lord, called of the Lord. He heard his voice. What do you want me to do? I want you to go to Damascus. And that's where he went. God's people are faithful. They're faithful people. But they're depraved and fallible creatures. Creatures of the dust. A believer is one made willing in the day of God's power, willing to come, willing to bow, willing to love. But there's an old man that's within, and it don't change. I have just as much resentment in my flesh. Turn to Romans chapter 7, verse 18. I have just as much before I ever heard, Romans 7, before I ever heard the gospel, before I ever cared, I have the same resentment toward God in that flesh, that old man, as I ever did. It hasn't changed. What is flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And they don't mix. That old man don't change. Look at Romans 7:18. Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I got two natures, and they don't agree. I got a new man in me, the scripture says, that does not sin. I know that by faith, because I believe God. And there's some things that the Lord reveals about his people that they just don't see in themselves. I can see that old man. Buddy, I can pick him out right now. There's no problem me seeing him. I know, I am convinced, I am still right now in my flesh. I'm a depraved sinner. I have a desire to will is present with me. Out of a new man. But how to perform that which I would? Job says, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Paul had planned to be with the people in Corinth first, and then I planned to go to Macedonia, and things didn't work out that way. His plans got changed. It didn't fall out the way Paul thought. I'm going to make out my schedule. This is the way. I'll work out schedules for these Bible conferences. I've told you this before. I'll give one to Gary, and I'll tell him there's a 60% chance that I'm going to stay with this schedule. That's about as close as I can call it. And I usually try to hit pretty close to that. You plan, and you try to order things, and you try to make things, but things don't always work out the way. You want to follow the Lord. You do. But the Lord, here's my second point. The Lord orders our steps. We plan. Look back in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 7. Paul says, for I will not see you now. By the way, I meant to, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to see you now. But I trust to tarry a while with you. And look at these last few words. If the Lord permit. I'm not coming now. Can't come now. But I will be with you if it's the will of the Lord. That ought to be the attitude of every believer's action. That's what a believer wants. That's what he desires. It's agreeable to the sovereignty of God. It's agreeable to the foundation and the surety of all that comes to pass. Listen, look at turn over to 2 Corinthians 1 page, 2 Corinthians 1:17. Paul says, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? What do you mean, Paul? He said, I didn't make that commitment to come to you lightly. But I felt that it was right, a change was necessary in my original plans. It doesn't mean that I was behaving or acting in an unstable or careless way with no regard for your feelings or for the Lord's will or for your benefit. He said, when I plan, This is paraphrasing what he said. When I plan, do I plan according to the flesh as earthly men, worldly men do, always ready to say yes, yes, when the answer may be no, no? That's what he said. He said, well, how can I tell you yes? It's not going to change when it might. Faithful, but fallible. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, Proverbs 19:21, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. That shall stand. Look at James chapter 4. I'll read this. James 4, verses 13 to 15. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city, we're going to continue there a year, buy and sell, get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Isn't that right? If God wills, we're going to do that. Man, I hate hearing somebody say, you know what, I tell you what I'm going to do. This is exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm thinking to myself, no, you may not. You best be careful. You might not. Say if the Lord wills. Somebody told me something one day. It was not one that professes the Lord. He said, I tell you this. You write this down. Come the first of the year, this is the way it's going to be. Told me that last year. This is the way it's going to be. And you know what? It ain't. It didn't come out like that. It didn't happen like that. I remember thinking to myself, no, that's arrogance talking. If the Lord wills, we'll do this or we'll do that. So yes, the Lord had given Paul instruction in a vision. In Acts chapter 16, he saw in a vision a man from Macedonia come over and help us. So Paul knew that he was going to Macedonia. He made his plans, and he made his plans to go this way. I'll go to Corinth, then I'm going to come back to Corinth. And then the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God's people desire only to do that which the Lord wills, the Lord desires, the Lord ordains. Psalm 40 verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Let me ask you this. Don't you delight to do the will of the Lord? That's what I want. Now his will may not be what I will. It may go contrary to what I want, but I can tell you this, when things don't work out my way, this I know, the counsel of the Lord, if you want to know what the Lord's will is, well, just whatever happened today, that was the Lord's will, because all things work together for good to them that love God, one who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's how the Lord taught his disciples to pray, wasn't it? He said, when you pray, he said, you say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. So we're always reminded, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Doesn't matter how desirous, How desirous we make our plans, we resolve our plans to, if the Lord wills. May the Lord's will be done. If he permit, everything that happens, he orders. So Paul says to the church, I planned to come. It didn't work out that way now. Then he tells them, he said, I will come and maybe winter with you if the Lord permits. And then thirdly and lastly, the Lord orders all things for his glory and the eternal salvation of his people. The Apostle Paul knew that God's pleasure was for him to not go the way he had originally planned. And he knew, truly, having written in Romans 8. He says, you know, all things work together for good to them. It didn't come out the first way he thought, but all things work together for good. So back in 2 Corinthians, our last two verses for tonight, he says, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. The Lord had directed Paul's steps in order that the Lord's will might be done. Pentecost, or the Feast of Harvest, was soon to be observed by the Jews. Now Paul, a former Pharisee, he wasn't there to celebrate that feast. It was not celebrated anymore after the Lord came. The Lord fulfilled all of those promises and those feasts that pictured his coming. And here, because so he wasn't going to be there in Ephesus in order to celebrate the feast, but he was there not to regard it, but he knew that there was going to be an abundance of people in Ephesus that were going to be there to celebrate, and there was going to be an opportunity to be able to preach to a lot of people. That's what he's saying. He said, I'm going to tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Paul didn't know who or if the Lord might be pleased to show mercy to anybody in Ephesus. But he knew that God had a people. And he knew that their people were scattered throughout all the world. And he knew that the Holy Spirit was going to surely call out his people through the preaching of the gospel. And therefore he purposed in his heart to take this opportunity to see if the Lord would be pleased to bless his word in calling out some of his people during that feast right there. There may be some sheep in that place that in their mind, they came because they were coming to worship and celebrate the Pentecost. The Feast of the Harvest. That's what they're there for. How many times have I seen somebody tell me a story about, you know, I came over here, I was dating this person, or I came over here because my mama wanted me to come here, and in my case, my mother was attending Kitchens Creek Baptist Church in Ball, Louisiana. Darvin Pruitt was a pastor, and I was pastor in the Southern Baptist Church, a Southern Baptist Church. And Darvin had asked Henry Mahan, I remember Henry Mahan, Scott Richardson, and Jack Shanks are the three people I remember. Three preachers. And she said, why don't you come over and I said, okay. So I came over. I just came over there to please my mother. You know, God had other plans. Paul said, I'm going to stay in Ephesus because there's a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Paul declared, he said, I know the Lord has ordered my steps to be in this place because I'm here. He thought, you know, and he didn't know what the outcome would be, but he knew if the Lord was going to be pleased, there's going to be some sheep there at this feast, and their steps would be ordered too, for them to be there. And Almighty God would put his sheep and a preacher together. And that's the only hope that a sheep's got, is to hear the gospel preached. That's God's means. That's the God-ordained means. God, Paul didn't open that opportunity. Almighty God did. Almighty God alone has the key that opens and no man shuts, or shuts and no man opens. So Paul, like every God-called preacher, knew that the Lord called him to preach. The Lord had put him where he was. The Lord had stopped him from going one place first and put him somewhere else. And now here he is in Ephesus. And this was his commission. He knew this. Go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature. I don't know who God's people are. I don't know who they are. But I'm going to preach to everybody. And I'm going to tell everybody, come to Christ. If God Almighty gives a heart to hear that, I tell you what they'll do. In their heart, they'll come to Christ. They'll call upon the Lord. It's amazing when you see, like Lydia, when the Lord just opened her heart and she attended to the words that Paul was preaching. You're like, wow! That never happens. Yes, it does. I've seen it. You have too. So here was a great door, Paul said, and effectual. Effectual. I looked that word up. Effectual. Here it is. Abundant opportunity. Great encouragement to labor. A great encouragement. There's a lot of people here. I'm going to preach to these people. And who knows? God Almighty might call them out. Paul knew that the gospel was the power of God in salvation. If anybody's going to have any hope, they're going to have the gospel preached to them. And Paul said, lastly, oh, and there are many adversaries. Many, many adversaries. There's always opposers and resistors to the gospel. Opposition to the gospel was something that Paul didn't regard as a reason to leave Ephesus. He'd been beaten and stoned and, you know, been in the deep, you know, just on and on and on. He said, there's a lot of adversaries, but it was his calling, it was his heart, it was his life to stay right there and preach to God's people. Preach to them, preach to anybody that would listen to him. A preacher of the gospel never desires to look for trouble. I really don't. I hate confrontation. I hate it. I will walk 3 miles around to avoid confrontation. I just don't want it. But I can tell you this, if confrontation comes, I'm not going to shut up because preaching the gospel because of confrontation. You know, God's people realize that opposition to the truth is going to be there because the Lord's going to allow it to be there. He's going to allow it, as I said at the beginning of this message, to reveal those that are approved of God. And when you find opposition to the gospel, you realize it's Satan's desperate effort to preserve the kingdom of Satan that Almighty God has already conquered. You know that. And God's going to allow there to be opposition. But when you see opposition to the gospel, take heart. The gospel's there. And Paul says, I'm not, this is a great door. I couldn't come. I'm telling you, I'm not shunning you. I meant to come. But God ordered my steps to put me in this place in Ephesus because there's a feast going on right here. And I'm going to preach to these people, and who knows? This great door and effectual is opened unto me, and God Almighty may call out some sheep. I pray that the Lord does so. I pray that he bless the message to the salvation of the people. Call them out. Who knows? It's worth all the opposition that we'll ever encounter. Preach the truth. Comfort God's people. This is my call. I have to keep telling myself all the time, Marvin, this is what you've been called to do. You honor God and you comfort God's people. That's what you do. And if somebody steps up and they want to fuss and fight and stuff like that, well, just fuss and fight all you want to. I don't have time. Preach, honor the Lord and God Almighty is going to bless his word when he's pleased to the calling out of his people. I pray so tonight for Christ's sake and our good. Amen. All right.